Second Peter chapter 1. I will not be very long tonight. There's one point in this message tonight. I've entitled it, No More to Give. Second Peter chapter 1. I want to try to show you tonight one thing. This has been preached on before in some ways by lots of ministers. But every minister puts it together in a little different way. And I've mentioned this before in other ways, but not quite in this way. But here's the truth that might help us a great deal if we can just catch it. No more to give. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, first of all, here in verse 3, we see that God says that he hath, past tense, given us all things. Now, why would he use the past tense? He didn't say, I will give to you all things. He says he hath given unto us all things. Past tense. Already he's given it to us. It's already done. It's also in Greek in the middle voice, which means for self-interest, either from the person giving or from the standpoint of the person getting or both. Well, quite obviously, in this case, as it often is in the Bible, it's both, isn't it? He's given it for us. He's given it for his own benefit as well. The Greek here in this word given means to make a present. He has given us or made us a present. Of what? Of all things. Of all things. Of whatsoever we need in him. It's already given to you. He's already given. It's like somebody has given you a lawnmower and sitting in your garage, and now the grass is growing up and you need a lawnmower, and it's been already given. So you go in a lawnmower, you have to know you've got the lawnmower. You have to believe that it's yours, and you have to start using it. And it'll accomplish the task that's needed. He says he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Spiritual things. That pertain to life. Jesus said, I am the life. He is the life. He is our life. And godliness. God-likeness. Jesus is God-likeness. Christ was like God. He's given us all things which pertain to life and godliness, and Jesus is life, and he is godliness, exemplified, manifested in action. Christ is life, Christ is godliness, Christ is a channel of his divine power. It says, according as his divine power hath given us. Christ is the very channel of his divine power. He's even called us to glory, and Christ is the glory of God. Manifest to man. And he said he's given us all things, and Christ is all things to us. In other words, he has given us himself. He's made us a present of himself. A greater gift is there. And if you have him, what else do you need? For he is all in all. And he is sufficient. He's the all-sufficient one. You say, well, how about the power of God? The power of God is God in action. If you get the power of God, obviously, I want the power of God. You know what you're saying? I want God to act through me. The power of God is God acting. The power of a man's arm is the man acting through his arm. Well, I want gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are gifts. The gifts of the Spirit is God working through you. God speaks through you in tongues. God speaks through you in interpretation. God prophesies through you. God heals through you. God gives miracles through you. God prays through you. Everything is given in a gift. A gift, the gifts of the Spirit, are not packages that you say, thank you, take from him and you work it. The gift is God operating through you. Well, how about the love of God? Shedding abroad the love of God. The love of God is God loving through you. And if God can cause you to love sinners, he can cause you to love your wife and your husband and your brother and your sister. If you lack, ask of God. And faith believing. And then act as though you got it. That point is where we miss, right there. We ask, but we don't act as though we got it. But if you got faith and believe it, you would act as though you had it. You see, Lord, I need this. All right, thank you, Lord. Now, if you believe you got it, you'll act like you got it. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. If you believe it, you no longer feel condemned. If you don't believe it, you still feel condemned. Now, that thing is true in every area of your life. If you believe it, you'll act like it. And if you act like it, you'll have the power of it. This force is partakers, partners of a divine nature. We can be partners of a divine nature. Do you want that? Now, we don't become partakers of the divine nature by things as gifts. It isn't by things. Things can't make you a partner of a divine nature. The only thing that can make you a partner in the divine nature is by God given as a gift rather than things given as a gift. Because to be a partaker, a partner in the divine knowledge, you have to be with him. It has to be him in you, or you can never be a partner with him. It's not things, not tricks, not gimmicks, not methods, not ways with God. Man prays for God to give him things. God, give me things. We make God a heavenly Santa Claus. God, give me this, give me that, give me that. Reach down and hand it to me. But God hath already given all things. He's already given. We're asking to give, and he's already given. We only need to appropriate it. We only need to assimilate it. What do those two terms mean? Let me tell you. Appropriate means to take for one's own peculiar use. To appropriate something, I appropriate, I take it for my use. So, God has already given his only begotten Son and all things in him. So to appropriate that, we don't have to have him shed forth his Son again to save our soul. We appropriate what's already been done at Calvary. By his stripes we were healed, the scripture says, past tense. We were healed. You were already healed of whatever problem you got at Calvary. That is, in as a provision. That is, the work has been done for you. You only have to take it. It's like something been all typed out for you in a typed letter. It's already been done for you back at Calvary. Take it. But I need the letter. But it's already been done. I don't have to type it again. Take it. Now, if you catch this truth, if we can just, in our human frame and materialistic in a material world, you know, where we have to feel something, then we know it's real. If we can just lay hold of this, because faith is laying hold of the unseen. If we can just lay hold of this and put it into action, and it's easier said than done, But if we can lay hold of it, we'll have something. We'll really have something. A simulate is an interesting word. A simulate means to absorb, being next, you know, you're being next to something. Like a blotter is next to ink, and it can absorb it. But a simulate, as it was simulate means to be made similar to. Assimilate what's in that so that you have what was in that, so you are similar to what that is. See? So that if there was an ink blot on the floor and you put a blotter next to it, it would assimilate. You know, you remember biology? It's a semi-permeable membrane, you know, through the process of osmosis, you know, remember? And it transfers from this to this, so you have a type, typology, or an anti-type, or the direct image of it, until it is like what it was against. Now, what I'm saying is, how do you take these things, these gifts? How do we take them? Spiritual things are only received by the Spirit, and in the Spirit. And if we can just get next to them and start absorbing, there will be a similarity between us and Him, because we'll be infusing His divine righteousness into us. But you can't do it by walking in the flesh. We've got to be next to God. We've got to reckon it as such. This reckoning is a very important thing. We're going to learn what this reckoning means by and by. See, reckoning, you say, why is that so important? Because reckoning is faith. Yeah. Reckoning is the only proof that you got faith instead of just a top line that you got faith. See, reckoning leads to appropriating. If you reckon something is yours, you appropriate it. Well, I reckon that's my 50-cent piece over there, so I'll just take it. But if you don't reckon it to be yours, you don't take it, unless you want to steal it. But if you don't think it's yours, if you reckon it's yours, you've got to count it as yours. When your kids come up and sit around the table night after night, you are counting them as yours. Now they are yours, but if you didn't know they were yours and didn't count them as yours, then you wouldn't act like they're yours. And there's a lot of things that are ours that we're not acting like they're ours. God has already given. There's no more to give. He's already given it. Take it. Man has a warped conception. Man thinks that he must give up something in order to earn something. Man's got this thing inside of him that in order to receive something, he's got to give something. We feel, man inherently feels that if he gives up his selfishness, his self-will, he'll receive Christ as a Savior. But I've got to give up my will. If I give up my will, then I can receive Christ. I'll just treat him. If I give up time that I have to do something to pray, then God will give the answer. See, I give up time to pray. Don't we kind of feel that way? If we'll take time to pray, then He'll trade us an answer for the prayer. That if we give up material things, then He will give us spiritual things. If we give up, we don't give them up, then He won't. See, we're at a divine bargaining table, and if we give up this, then He'll give us this. If we'll give up our ambitions of this world, to do things in this world, be great, and He'll give us a ministry. But if He won't give us a ministry, unless we give, then we swap. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. You know that we got this thing inside of us that we think that we're at a divine bargaining table. If we give up the world, then He'll give us heaven. See? It's a divine trading post we're at. I'll give you this, Lord, and you give me something better. See? But I want to tell you something. That's not true. It seems like it, though, doesn't it? Does it seem like it? It does seem like it. Well, let me tell you what the fallacy is. It's not true. Giving those things up does not result in you receiving. It has absolutely nothing to do with you receiving. And if it did, it would not be a gift of God. It would be a trade. Earned. Traded. It would not be a gift. You do not trade something for something and call it a gift. All right? Now, here's where the subtle difference comes. The impact is not subtle, but it sounds very close. Giving does not result in receiving, but you must give yourself or you won't be in a position to freely receive. There's the difference. Because if you hold yourself in a certain attitude, then he can't give you. For example, if you're a young lady and you hold yourself in an attitude that you are going to be master of your own life forever, run your own life, you're not going to have anybody else interfere with your life, you're not going to share your life with anybody. If you don't give that up, a young man is not going to take you to be his wife. You've got to give that up or he won't take you. But just giving that up doesn't mean that somebody's taking you. Some of the ladies have found that out. It's got nothing to do with it. Some man has to come and out of love decide to take you. And you giving yourself up doesn't make somebody take you. But he won't take you unless you give yourself up. Now that's what I'm talking about. There's not one thing you can trade God for what he gives you. There's not one thing you can do to get. But if you don't give, you won't get. But it's got nothing to do with him giving it to you. It's just that you're not in a state that he can give it to you. That's all. That's all. And we've got to understand that. We do have to give ourselves. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 8:5, Paul said concerning them, I'll read it here. Got it. And this they did, listen, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And unto us by the will of God. They first gave their own selves unto the Lord. Now that's what we've got to do first, is give our own selves unto the Lord. It's this point that is hindering us from appropriating. Because we won't give ourselves unto the Lord. And you can't give yourself, no forget. But if you don't give yourself, you have a terrible time receiving. Because you're not in a proper state to receive in the areas that he wants to give us. Now, God gave up his son, and everything is in him. The provision is given. There's no more to give. We have only to take. Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful says, such as we have, give we unto thee. In the name of Jesus, take up thy bed and walk. They did not say, hold it now. Lord, give to us so that we may give to him. They didn't say, Lord, I don't have what's necessary. I am just a man and I need healing. So give me the power so that I can heal. So you can so heal through me. Give me the power. They already counted what was done. They have appropriated it. It was provisional for them. And they said, such as we have. Give we into thee. We've already got it. Right here. We've already got the Lord's healing. Here it is. Take it. Now, God is not just doling out packages like a heavenly Santa Claus, but faith in his promises that he has made. He's talking about precious promises here in our text. Faith in his promises and faith in the gift already given. And faith in action, which is appropriating which is reckoning, which is acting like it's happened, like it's, you've got it, gets your results. It's when we become in tune with the divine essence, and that's God, and I'm not talking about Christian Science now, but God, we come in tune with Him, we plug in so that we've got along the same wavelength as the current flowing, you get a contact. And you get a contact, you get results. And the result, the contact comes by getting in harmony with the divine image. Because the carnal image is not in harmony with the divine. We have to put ourselves in harmony with the whole divine plan of God. With Him as a person, His divine essence, His being, His theotes, His necessary essence and being. Because whatever we receive spiritual things, it has to be done in spiritual realms. The new revelation then, for some people, is one to know that whatever we need in Him has been given us. We've already got the provision in Christ and Calvary. Number two, to reckon it to be ours by rightful inheritance as the Son of God. And number three, to live it out by faith. Just live it out. Live as though it's yours, because it is. And if you live as though it's yours, you'll have it. See? If you live as though it's true, it'll be true. That's what faith is, counting it as though it's already there. Faith is the substance of things not yet seen. But faith counts it as already there. And so faith enjoys it ahead of time. Faith enjoys it right now. That's why faith moves the hand of God. Because faith is coming into harmony with the divine truth that I am right now. Whatsoever cometh out of the mouth of God is available for us. There's no more to give. Appropriated, assimilated, get next to God. Come in harmony with Him. First give yourself to God. Reckon it yours, and then walk like it's yours, and it'll be yours.